the title of the sermonette today. What is our value to God? I want to give you three reasons in this sermonette today. The first one, the first point, is that He has called us and purchased us. He has called us and purchased us. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. We read the following. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. It says, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." What is that price? A Christian has been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and so we belong to Him. A number of us have children, and some of us have grandchildren. We know how much concern that we have for them, for our own family. And when they hurt, we hurt too. When they are happy, and any good and caring parent would be happy as well. And God the Father gave His only Son to die so that we might have life. And what a commitment that was. What would we think if we had to give up, to be killed, one of our own children? It would literally break our hearts. And yet God the Father underwent that situation when Christ was nailed to the stake. Our commitment to Christ and to the Father should be deeper than it ever was. As we go along, it should be deeper than when we were first converted. How much did it cost Christ to offer us salvation? After creating us, Jesus left the comfort of a throne in heaven. He left a place of perfection to spend 33 years in an evil world with sinners, many of whom may have hated Him. And whilst on earth, Jesus served others. He was charged falsely. He was ridiculed. He was beaten. And He was crucified. Can you imagine paying a higher price for anyone or anything? He clearly loves and values us so much that He was willing to give all He could to have an eternal relationship with us. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but you might just want to make a note of a couple of scriptures that you might want to look at later that confirm what I'm saying. The first one is Acts 20, verse 28, and I'll read that to you, which says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood." And 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 states, "Who has saved us," or is saving us, "and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So that point number one is that God has called us and purchased us. Point number two, we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. If you'll turn to 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. It says, 1 Peter 1, verse 18, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The word redeemed, the Greek elitropheti, I'm sure I've not pronounced that correctly, means release of payment of the ransom price. The price paid was not money, as happens when someone is kidnapped and then released when the ransom money is paid, but by the blood of Christ, who came to give his life a ransom for many. It may have been that Israel's deliverance from bondage was in the apostle's mind as he thought of the deliverance of the Christians from the bondage of sin. If that was so, it would be the paschal lamb that he had in mind when he used the phrase, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The reference to silver and gold may be a reference to the fact that a slave could save the money he earned with a view to buying his freedom. Some of those to whom this letter was addressed had probably hoped to do so. But while silver and gold could purchase that freedom, it was powerless to effect freedom from the dominion of sin. Nothing less than the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, could suffice for that. Now, I won't turn again to two more scriptures, but you might just like to make a note of them so that if you wish, you can look at these later. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And verse 14, which is the earnest, that is the down payment, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And then in Romans 3 verse 24 it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The third point, last point today, is that we bear God's sign. We bear God's sign. And what is God's sign? It is the deposit of the Holy Spirit. If you'll turn to Romans 8 verse 23, Romans 8 verse 23, we read the following. Romans 8 verse 23 says, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Christians who experience the earnest, that is, the down payment of the Holy Spirit, experience the foretaste of God's transforming power. But foretaste it is. We look forward to the time when we will be in God's kingdom, which is pictured, of course, by this Feast of Tabernacles, and when we are delivered from this body and from sin and the environment of sin, which is the world as we know and the society that we live in. But for the time being, we have a down payment of God's Holy Spirit, and we should be trying to develop it and emulate Jesus Christ and the life, live the way of life that he would have us live. I often pray that God will give me enough of his Holy Spirit to enable me to defeat Satan, his demons, this society, my own human nature, and my own bad habits. That's quite a list. You know, we do have a lot of things that are against us. It's quite a list, and we do need more of God's Spirit to be successful in growing and overcoming. In addition, it says here, the adoption, and we have long understood that this is better translated as sonship, which is much more than adoption. And again, I'll just give you two references to back this up without you turning there. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22, which states, who has sealed us and given the earnest, that is a down payment, of the Spirit in our hearts. That is, God has put his sign upon us as his property. This is a token payment in advance, or a token sample of the power of his Holy Spirit. We won't know the full power of the Holy Spirit until we are finally born into the kingdom of God and given eternal life. And the second scripture is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5, which states, "Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest," that is, the down payment, "of his Spirit." David, King David, when viewing the enormous handiwork of God, expressed his amazement that God even dealt with mankind, and we can get a sense of that awe when we see all the stars in the sky, millions or even trillions of them, and realize that God knows each one by name. We individually are a mere speck, and the nations are as a drop in the bucket. But God is very mindful of us and has our best interests at heart. The feeling of worthlessness may encroach on the minds of many of us at times, and sometimes maybe even baptized members in the Church of God. For some, it may just be a passing, just an occasional thought. For others, it may be a constant weight of gloom. But God does not consider us worthless, as I hope that I proved in this brief message today. So we can see that we are of great value to God because, one, he has called us and purchased us. Secondly, we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And thirdly, we bear God's mark. Whilst we shouldn't think highly of ourselves and should remain in a humble attitude at all times, nevertheless, God does think highly of us. We are precious and of great value to him, and we should do everything we can to live up to that very high calling.